heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again in my favorite month of the year. I just love October. The brilliant color of leaves, the cool, crisp air, the scents and tastes of maple and pumpkin spice. And it won't be long until we have our first fire in the fireplace. Yes, I know. Some see all these things merely as harbingers of the cold desolation of winter. But although snow, ice, and bitter wind chills are undoubtedly coming, I nonetheless immerse myself in the beauty and the autumnal splendor of October, and I give thanks to God for it. And speaking of giving thanks to God, gratitude is a central theme in the gospel lesson for this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's the story of the 10 lepers whom Jesus heals and only one returns to him to give thanks. Now, this story is unique to the Gospel of Luke, not unlike the prodigal son, to which, to my mind anyway, it bears some parallels. Well, so in our story, 10 lepers cry out to Jesus as he's entering a village. He responds by ordering them to go and show themselves to the priests, fulfilling the requirements of the Levitical law for a former leper to be reinstated into the common life of Israel. As they were going, the Gospel tells us they were cleansed. But only one, and a half-breed Samaritan at that, in seeing that he had been healed, glorified God in a loud voice, and returned to Jesus, falling at his feet to thank him. Jesus' response, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? Well, I see a parallel here between the obstinate elder brother from the parable of the prodigal son and the 9 lepers that did not return gratitude for their healing. A life devoid of gratitude becomes self-focused and self-absorbed. And the longer ingratitude is allowed to subsist, the deeper the ungrateful person dives into the myth of self-sufficiency and deserts. Further, ingratitude is a self-perpetuating problem. The less thankful we are in small things, the less likely we are to be thankful even for large things. The elder brother from the parable had likely lived long in ingratitude, for he was blinded to the fact that indeed all that his father had was his. But before I exempt myself from this position and place myself at odds or in contrast to these 9 lepers or to this elder brother, I need to take a good hard look at my response when something good happens to me. Am I immediately moved to give thanks? Or do I instead revel in relief or maybe secretly think I deserved this? Jesus' last line to the Samaritan is telling. He said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." Gratitude is a hallmark expression of faith. The very same faith that will save us. And even as faith should endure in season and out of season, so should our thankfulness. I imagine that is precisely why St. Paul says, "In all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So, my friends, this week, let's have a go at giving thanks, whatever the circumstances, so that we train ourselves up as grateful persons, and not just in October, but the whole year through. Another fantastic show, on tap for us today. First up, now that the days are getting colder and shorter, you might be looking to spend your evenings inside rather than outside. Well, here's a suggestion. How about taking in some Catholic theater? Jeremy Stanbury is here to let us know about Open Window Theater's new season in just a moment. Next, what's the most Christ-like way to live? Well, I'm sure that it necessarily involves a dedication to love, charity, and justice. Father Tony O'Neill and Dr. Robert Kennedy join us to talk about the seven fundamental themes of Catholic social teaching. And finally, we'll catch up with Father David Bloom and all that's happening in the Office of Vocations. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving our show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, with fall in the air and the changing of colors happening all around us, it's also about time for a new season of local Catholic theater. Our friends at Open Window Theater have an exciting feature this fall. The Originalist is running now through October 30th. So, here to fill us in on Season 9 of Open Window Theater is Jeremy Stanbury, Executive Artistic Director. Jeremy, welcome back to the program. Grateful to have you with us.
Thank you, Patrick. It's always great to be with you.
All right, well, lead me into this Originalist. I want to know more about it. What's it about?
Well, to set it up a little bit, for any of our patrons out there that are listening right now that may remember a production we did a handful of years back in our old space called Freud's Last Session.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fictional play, but with the characters of Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis. So it was this kind of fictional meeting of the minds between Freud and Lewis, and this fascinating, thought-provoking debate between the two on all kinds of issues, and primarily atheism versus Christian belief. And,
yeah.
And one of our most memorable productions that patrons still talk about.
Absolutely. I saw it. It was brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
The Originalist is very similar in its feel and tone to that show. So we've got the historical figure of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, and the playwright really did his homework. The character is represented very faithfully and forthrightly in the show. And it's the premise of the play is he hires this what he calls a counter clerk. So he hires a self-described flaming liberal law clerk. And the play is a lot about their kind of sparring on the issues. Now, the interesting thing is Scalia was actually known for hiring liberal law clerks on occasion. So he really valued debate. He really valued passionate debate from all angles. He wanted to be challenged. He wanted his ideas to be challenged because he was so confident in his beliefs, in his ideas, and he saw passionate debate as a way to continually sharpen his sword. And so if all things were equal, he would sometimes choose a liberal law clerk and really help them learn how to rule on the text versus on emotion, which is kind of a one of the linchpins in the show with this clerk. So but it's a fascinating play. It deals with a lot of hot button political moral issues of our times, and so we are saying parental discretion is advised. We're okay. Recommending the play for adolescents and older. It deals with a lot of mature themes, but it's very, very funny. Scalia had a great wit. He had a great sense of humor, and so it's a hard-hitting play, but it's funny. It's substantive. You see his deep religious faith come out in the play and how that affects his law clerk at a moment of crisis in her life in the show. The reactions coming out of opening weekend have been tremendous. Rave reviews coming out of opening weekend. All three performances on opening weekend received spontaneous standing ovations. And so the reactions have been good so far.
Wow, that's great. That's great to hear. And man, you've set it up. You've whet my appetite already. I'm already looking forward to it. What's the cast size for this? Because I remember with Freud's last session that was just intimate. I mean, it was just Freud and Lewis, right?
Yes. And so this is again very similar. This is just a 3-person cast.
It is. Okay.
And we were blessed to hire James Ramlett in the role of Scalia. I mean, you can't do this show unless you have the right actor to play Antonin Scalia. Jim Ramlett has been a fixture of the professional stage in the Twin Cities for many years. He's, you know, worked, he's done multiple shows at the Guthrie Theater and every other professional theater in town. So a tremendously experienced and well-known actor, just a phenomenal talent. And we were really blessed to get him for this show. In the role of Scalia, he nails the role. And then we have a young up-and-coming actress playing the young law clerk. She just graduated from McAllister College, was originally from Boston, so we had to rope her back into the Twin Cities from Boston to come back and do this show. And then a wonderful young man, Jonah Smith, who was in our production of A Christmas Carol last season, a wonderful young man that we're trying to give more opportunities to at Open Window. Very similar, and like Freud's last session, we set up the stage so that it's kind of this what we call an alley stage. So you've got seating on both sides, and it kind of sets up that feel of, you know, us versus them, and this, you know, debate of opposites. But the beauty of the show is showing how we can have passionate disagreement and debate on the issues while still respecting one another's inherent human dignity and even befriending your opponent in the process. So I think part of the inspiration for this play is that Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were close personal friends.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They were, you know, obviously completely polar opposites, you know, politically and even, you know, in a lot of ways on moral and social issues. I mean, they couldn't have been further apart. But they were dear personal friends. They loved one another deeply. They would vacation together all the time. They would go to the opera together. And they really loved and respected one another. That, I think, is a tremendous example for our times of what we should all be striving for, especially Christians, you know, to love your enemy. And, you know, we're never going to convince anyone by the louder we yell at them. You know, we're going to help convince people of truth through reasoned debate, but also, you know, showing concern for them, love for them as a person, as a child of God. And so Scalia did that wonderfully for people that, you know, he was, you know, thought to be a monster by many on the other side. And that's, you know, gotten worse in recent years and decades of, you know, how we've gotten further and further into our camps where we don't, so to speak, fraternize with the enemy anymore. And we view others as evil, you know, and the enemy who disagree with us.
Right.
And yes, their ideas may be harmful and destructive, but we need to find a way to bridge that gap so that we can have substantive debate in our country and still respect one another's dignity. And so Scalia gives us a great example of that. This play kind of promotes that idea. So there's this unexpected mentorship that develops in the play between him and the law clerk. And, you know, and they become friends at the end. Neither of them has to compromise their beliefs. But they you know learn that they can gain something from one another's perspective and befriend one another. You know, be friends and still disagree on the hot topic issues. And I think that's just a great example witness for our times.
I think it very much is, and you've used that phrase now a few times for our times. I'm just thinking, yeah, how appropriate for in this day and age? Because, like you say, oftentimes we automatically just vilify the other people. And as a friend of mine used to say, that it's not just that I'm right and you're wrong, but now it's more I'm right and you're evil for the ideas you hold, right? But well, that leads me to another question, Jeremy. Just kind of more on a larger scale. How do you discern which shows to run each season? I mean, there's got to be all sorts of possibilities there. What's the process like looking for shows that have Catholic or at least Christian themes throughout?
Well, there's a lot of coin flipping involved.
Okay. casting lots, you know, as it were.
Yeah, a lot of casting lots. It's a good question. There's honestly no process. I'm always looking for new material. I'm always looking for plays that fit with our uniquely redemptive mission in the arts. And quite honestly, it's hard to, my options are limited. And that's why I've gotten into writing more and more Saint dramas. So I've kind of become known, I guess, for the original Saint dramas that I write. And we're premiering a new one this season on St. Nicholas in December. And then after that will be one that we're bringing back from 10 years ago, Mercy Unrelenting, about the martyrdom of St. Maria Goretti and the conversion of her murderer. So I've become known for these St. dramas. Last season, Frassati was a huge hit. And prior to that, during COVID, my rewrite of Lolek as a three-person drama was a huge hit.
Yep.
So I've had to write my own material over time, and the Saint dramas have been great. But in terms of other material, I'm constantly searching and ordering plays and reading them and considering, what might be material that we could produce at Open Window. And I use now, I'll come with multiple ideas and kind of present them to my board of directors, and we'll talk through it. I'll talk through it with my wife, Sarah. She has some say and influence, and others that are close to me and my staff at the theater. But it's ultimately it's my decision on what to choose and what I think is a good fit for our mission. We usually do plays that are multi-generational, so they kind of hit a broad audience, but they're not always suitable for younger children. If they're dealing, even the St. Maria Goretti story, kind of an intense play, so not necessarily suitable for younger kids, but definitely multi-generational.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Well, I can imagine that it's you've kind of got your work cut out for you there in terms of finding exactly an offering that fits your mission and that speaks to people. But it sounds to me, just in your brief recap of it or your brief promo of it, that the originalist would fit squarely in that category. I think it's a great thing to promote. And actually, going back to the originalist for just a moment, it sounds like really the message that you're trying to persuade people with is not necessarily Scalia's or the law clerk's views, but rather the need for respectful dialogue, disagreement, and debate, right?
Yeah, that's the ultimate sort of takeaway from the show. But what's interesting about this play is that it's near impossible to find a contemporary play that actually presents conservative ideas on the law. So basically, originalism that Scalia was known for, interpreting the Constitution according to the text and the original ideas and intentions of the founders. That's something that it's just you don't find that. You don't find conservative and Christian ideals usually presented in an honest and forthright way in the contemporary theater. So that's something that's very unique about this play, because it does do that, and it's challenged by his law clerk, but Scalia stands his ground with his firm arguments, and it's great to just see those arguments put forth in an honest and forthright way. He talks about, how Roe v. Wade is bad law, and he hopes and prays it'll get overturned someday. So that's a really interesting thing in the show, him talking about that and seeing that, that did recently happen. So, it's a neat play.
Yeah. We are, we're down to actually just a couple minutes left here, Jeremy, but we're speaking with Jeremy Sanbury, Executive Artistic Director of Open Window Theater, about Season 9 as well as The Originalist. Now, you mentioned The Originalist, you mentioned St. Nicholas, and you mentioned the comeback of Mercy Unrelenting. Anything else that we should know about this upcoming season at Open Window Theater, Jeremy?
We'll be ending this season with Thornton Wilder's classic American play, perhaps the greatest play from the American stage, Our Town.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're really excited about Our Town. We have a fantastic cast lined up for that show.
Oh, that's too bad. I was going to say, I was Mr. Webb in Our Town in high school.
Oh, so were you? I can see that, yeah.
If you needed a Mr. Webb, I'm there for you.
Oh, that's great. Oh, well, a little late on that, but I would have taken you up on that otherwise. But we have a fantastic cast lined up. Yeah, and just such a wonderful, wonderful show. And it's a big cast for us. I mean, you know, we're a small black box theater, and that's a really big cast. So we've had to, you know, get really creative in how we pare down the cast and do some doubling in the show. But
yeah,
we've got it down to 15 actors, which is still big for our stage. But
yeah,
but it's such a beautiful show. We're excited about that one to wrap up the season in spring.
Very good. Well, Jeremy, of course, I have to ask you, if people want tickets to The Originalist or if they want to find out more about all the Open Window Theater's offerings, where can they go?
OpenWindowTheater.org. So just search Open Window Theater. You know, we spell theater with an R-E at the end instead of E-R, but it doesn't really matter. If you search Open Window Theater, you'll get us. We'll pop up in the results. People can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook is where we're kind of most active. We have the biggest following. But OpenWindowTheater.org or call our box office at 612-615-1515. It's a pretty easy number to remember, but I'll give it again. 612-615-1515.
All right. Well, Jeremy, I wish you I wish you and the crew and the cast of The Originalist well in this ongoing production. And for all of Season 9, we are grateful for your presence here in the Twin Cities, and we are looking forward to all that's to come. So thanks for joining us again, Jeremy. God bless you.
Well, and we're grateful for your support. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Patrick.
To keep up to date with all of Open Window Theater's events, do head on over to Open Window Theater, and that's with an R-E, as Jeremy just said, openwindowtheater.org, or give them a call, 612-615-1515. How was Jesus' ministry of promoting human dignity and a just society lived out in the church today? When we come back, Father Tony O'Neill and Dr. Robert Kennedy with some provocative insights from Catholic social teaching. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the show. Here on Practicing Catholic, we've touched a bit on Catholic social teaching and how it applies to practically living out our faith. Well, the seven central themes of Catholic social teaching provide insight into our duties as Catholics, caring for and upholding the right to life, honoring the call to family, community, and participation, creating safe environments and upholding just rights for workers. The list goes on and on. Well, if you're looking to bolster your knowledge on the themes of Catholic social teaching, you're in luck. Father Tony O'Neill of St. John Newman and Egan and Dr. Robert Kennedy of the University of St. Thomas are here today to shed some light on an opportunity coming your way. Father O'Neill, first to you, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Good to be with you this morning.
And Dr. Kennedy, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy to be here.
Well, we've touched briefly on what Catholic social teaching is, but Father Tony, let's start with you. Share a bit about a brief explanation of what each theme of these seven themes are.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So really, you know, begins with this idea of the life and the dignity of the human person, that each person is created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore everyone's dignity in life must be respected and protected. But of course, people are not just an individual, they're part of a community, part of a society, and therefore called to be a part of that, to participate in that. And so we, you know, as Catholics, we obviously believe that we're brothers and sisters, and we're brothers and sisters keeper, and that loving our neighbor has kind of a global dimension, if you will. And then, of course, you know, we believe in the dignity of work, that the economy must serve people and not the other way around.
Right.
you know, with the life and dignity and dignity of the human person, there are certain rights that come with that. The right to life, obviously, the right to a fulfilled and a flourishing life. But as we know, with any rights, there comes responsibilities. And so each person is responsible to contribute to the flourishing of our brothers and sisters and to the common good, as we would say. And then, of course, you look at the scriptures, and, you know, Jesus particularly had what's sometimes called an option for the poor. He was drawn to the poor and those who were vulnerable. And if we truly want to be his disciples, then we have to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, care for God's creation, that the world that we have been given, we are stewards of, and that we should care for creation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's a great overview. I appreciate that. And Dr. Kennedy, this may be an obvious answer, but I think it's worth asking the question just to have you explain a little bit, why is it important for practicing Catholics to have an understanding of Catholic social teaching?
Well, that's a great question, Patrick. You know, Pope Benedict liked to remind us that acts of charity, concern for our fellow citizens, building a culture, and so on, are just as essential to the life of the Church as worship and education or anything else we do. The Second Vatican Council, which, as you know, we're coming up next week on the 60th anniversary of its opening. But the Second Vatican Council reminded us that the laity participate fully in the mission of the Church, and our particular responsibility is to bring the gospel to the secular world, to the world of culture, marriage and family, politics, economics, and so on. So it really is key to living a Catholic life to be attentive to these things.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I agree. And of course, just in our short 15-minute interview here, there's not nearly enough time to delve into any one of these even to any great depth and to really foster meditation and thought and then living out of these different Catholic social teachings. So, but one of the things we want to highlight, of course, Father Tony, is that you've got a speaker series right there at St. John Newman starting on October 25th. Why don't you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so... We're really excited about this. It's a once a month presentation on each of the themes. The first one will be a kind of an overview of the Catholic social tradition, and then the course of the evening there'll be a presentation, but also an opportunity to have some small group discussion and to ask questions, kind of teasing out the particular teachings of the Church. One of the reasons that I think this is just so critically important is in the world that we live in, we're faced with, you know, various ideologies, various views of what a human person is. And actually knowing what the Church teaches on this is vitally important. Catholic social teaching has sometimes been described as the Church's biggest secret. And so... if we want to measure what we see in society, we have to measure against the standard that is our Church. And the goal of human existence is not simply justice in that sense, but it's love, that every person as a person with dignity is deserving of love. So we're excited. It'll be once a month running through May, I believe. And the registration is open. You can register right on our website, sjn.org.
Very good. I'm excited as I'm looking over the list, which is also available at archsbm.org/events, our favorite go-to website, right? Other than practicingcatholicshow.com, of course. Well, I see it there, and I see you have some great speakers lined up for this series. All of them preceded by the doctor moniker there as well. And Dr. Kennedy, I see that you're going to be speaking in December on rights and responsibilities. What's the crux of that talk?
Well, as Father Tony has suggested, we hear so much talk about rights these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to help people understand what we mean by rights and responsibilities in Catholic tradition, what rights like the right to life and other aspects of human dignity mean, and give them some opportunity to think about what constitutes real rights and what distinguishes those from just the cloud of claims that we experience in everyday life.
Mm. Right, and I think there is a lot of confusion over that because Catholic understandings of rights, as I understand it, a right is always paired with a duty in Catholic teaching, and that's one of the things that we see, that there, when we have a right, we have a responsibility as well, and that's exactly what you're going to be addressing on December 20th. So, excellent. Father, well, actually, I'll ask this of both of you, but Father Tony, we'll start with you. Just wondering if there's any particular one of these that really is resonating with you at the moment. Not to say that it's more important, but is there one that really does kind of grab you and arrest your own interest?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the fundamental one, the beginning, the life and dignity of the human person. And, you know, again, as I say, we live in this society where we've kind of lost a sense of what a human person is and what God intended when he created us, and that there are some things that are not fitting for human beings, for persons to engage in. And so even just clarifying that, I think, is the basis for all the other themes in Catholic social teaching. And it's not just simply the right to life, but how a person should live. I mean, in our society, we see this confusion around identity, confusion around gender, confusion around pretty much everything. And so just to root all of our all of the rest of the themes in this life and dignity of the human person, I think that's just so essential.
Yeah. Well, without a doubt, of course, to understand that is it's a fundamental thing that we have to adopt as Catholics, that it's part and parcel to who Jesus is and how he wants to live in and through us as well. Dr. Kennedy, same question. Is there one that really stands out to you? Now, I do note that you're also going to be speaking in March of next year for an option for the poor and vulnerable. Is that one that is really close to your heart right now?
Well, all of them are important, and I certainly endorse Father Tony's emphasis on human dignity. But you know, as a layman and a husband and a father and grandfather, I think that what the Church has to say about marriage and family is really a critical message for our time. And it always has been. We have documents from the very early years of the Church that point out that one of the things that distinguished Christians was the way in which they regarded not only life, but also marriage and family, distinguished them from the rest of the community. So that's something I think we need to pay attention to today.
Yeah, very good. So again, we're speaking with Father Tony O'Neill from St. John Newman in Eagan, as well as Dr. Robert Kennedy from the University of St. Thomas. We're talking about A Disciple in the World, Catholic Social Teaching, and it's a series of monthly talks given by a number of doctors, PhDs, who are going to be speaking on the seven foundational themes of Catholic social teaching. And as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, wow, these are really some heavy hitter. We got Dr. Michael Naughton, who's been on the program very recently as well. Dr. William Stevenson and Dr. Deborah Savage, know her well, and others who have been on the program who are well known in our local Catholic arena. And they're all going to be taking different aspects of these foundational themes of Catholic social teaching. But I do have to ask this, Dr. Kennedy, maybe I'll start with you on this one. So there can be this kind of polarizing view of Catholic social teaching. When you hear that in the Church, some people, they run to that and they say, yep, this is what it's all about. And other people say that, it maybe turns their heads away, okay, or it kind of gives them an uneasy feeling when they hear Catholic social teaching, because it might, maybe they see it as potentially furthering teachings that are not consonant with the teachings of the Church. What would your response be to someone who kind of has that feeling or that reaction?
Well, that's a good observation, Patrick. I think that this is not uncommon. And one of the things we're hoping to do with this this series of programs is acquaint people with what the church really teaches about this and how it fits in with a life of Christian discipleship.
Right.
It's not an add-on. It's not a substitute for worship and prayer. It's really something integral to that life. And we hope to help people understand how that comes about.
Right, right. How about you, Father Tony? Any additional comments on that?
Yes, I mean, I've had the kind of conversation that you're describing where people either, as you say, run towards it or are suspicious of it. But actually, I think that this course is going to speak for itself because it will root everything in what the church actually says. There's a lot of caricatures, I think, of what the church says. And I also really like your use of the word disciple, because this is all of these, the way we're supposed to act, all of these themes, they're rooted in this idea that we're disciples of Christ. And if you subtract that from all this, and we end up just being kind of activists, you know. And so this is an attempt, the way we live, our Catholic social teaching, our life of discipleship is in fact, it's this attempt to live the life of Jesus and to have everything be rooted in that.
And it really is it plays a central role in our own sanctification, does it not? I mean, this is how we are invited to live a life that is ecstatic, that is pointed outward, that is meaning to show the love of God to others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually preaching this weekend about you know, love for others, you know, love for God and love for others. And I used the metaphor of a couple when they fall in love and they start to get serious and they're thinking about getting married, they realize this is a package deal because you get his family and he gets yours and we get each other. And so this is a community that we're supposed to live in and to love one another in the concrete reality of life.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, good things. And again, the presentations will be monthly starting this October 25th, Tuesday, October 25th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. At St. John Newman in Eagan. You can learn more at their website, sjn.org, or Disciple in the World Catholic Social Teaching. Let me close with a question for you both again. And Father Tony, maybe we'll start with you in this time. Is that what particular are you looking for, a particular kind of fruit, or is there something that you hope comes of this speaker series that it's really set up to do?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's somewhat it stands on its own. You know, on one level, it's just it's imparting this great knowledge of Catholic social teaching. But I also one of my personal goals is to. And it's not an exact way to say this, but to kind of reconnect the social conscience with our theology and our spirituality. Not that they're necessarily broken, but I think sometimes they get a little far apart, and that we can tend to run too far ahead of ourselves without remembering some of these principles. And so if we can somehow kind of reconnect that a little bit, I think that will be a great fruit.
Yeah. How about you, Dr. Kennedy? Any thoughts about fruit that could be born from this speaker series?
Well, yes, I certainly endorse what Father Tony has said, but I also think, again, as a layman, that it would be great if people could leave events in this series with a much better sense of how, in their ordinary lives, they can be witnesses to the gospel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be something grand and dramatic, but there are lots of opportunities in our ordinary lives, if we're alive to them, and if we understand what all of this means, that we can be witnesses in significant ways.
Very good, very good. Well, it's been a pleasure to speak with you both, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the program. Father Tony, before we go, can you give us and our listeners an on-air blessing, please?
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Patrick. Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, and goodness, and mercy. Thank you for calling us to serve you. Continue to lead us and guide us and give us your wisdom. I should have blessed the work of Relevant Radio and all its listeners And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Tony O'Neill, Dr. Kennedy, thank you for joining us here on the program. God bless you both, and good luck with this series.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
Thank you, Patrick.
For a great summary of the seven themes of Catholic social teaching, as well as a list of foundational church documents, go to usccb.org, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and search Catholic social teaching. And you can find out more about this upcoming speaker series, A Disciple in the World, starting October 25th at St. John Newman. You can go either to archsbm.org/events or sjn.org. Coming up on Practicing Catholic, do you know how most young men who become priests go about their discernment of this holy calling? Well, Father David Bloom is with us right after this. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. You know, we are truly blessed in our archdiocese to witness the fruits of many men responding to the call to the priesthood. Maybe you or someone you know is starting to really consider that call. What do you do next? Providentially, our Archdiocesan Office of Vocation has some tantalizing events coming up that are just the ticket. Father David Bloom, Director of the Office of Vocations, is joining us today to fill us in on what's been happening this fall and how you can get involved moving forward. Father Bloom, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, how have you been, Father? What's been happening over at the seminaries so far this year?
You know, our seminaries are a place of a lot of life and a lot of activity. And so... You know, at St. John Vianney College Seminary, we have 17 seminarians, and the big news there is that the building project is going along very well. They're building a new chapel, and so guys are always looking out the window and keeping abreast of how that project is going. That's very exciting. At the St. Paul Seminary, we've got 31 seminarians, and all of the wonderful and normal, typical activities so far, classes and days of discernment going on. In the North American College in Rome, we have five seminarians there. I just returned from Rome on Sunday, and I was there for an ordination of one of our men, Ryan Glazer. He was ordained to the diaconate at St. Peter's Basilica. Very beautiful. And so a lot of things are happening in the lives of our seminarians.
Right. It sounds like it. And I'm grateful for your role in all that. And I understand that you've been busy planning a couple of exciting opportunities for young men around the Archdiocese. So let's talk a little bit about those. Could you start with maybe the Archbishop's Retreat? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. You know, it's something that I always look forward to because it's a time of inviting young men to come forward and go on retreat with the Archbishop. And it's a weekend retreat. It's October 28th to the 30th. It's held at Christ the King Retreat House. Great food, a great fellowship. And it's for juniors in high school through age 24, for men who do not yet have a college degree. And so if they would go to the seminary, they would go to St. John Vianney College Seminary. And it would be... also, for someone who, you know, could apply who is currently in college, but it would kind of depend on how far along they are in their studies.
Right.
And then that's an opportunity to get to know the Archbishop a little bit and to take in a lot of good knowledge, take in a lot of good information about priesthood, about being in the seminary, about discerning your vocation. Mm-hmm. And then on that same weekend, we have our discernment day with Bishop Williams.
Yeah.
And this is for men who have a college degree. And so if they were going to go to the seminary, they would enter our propedeutic year. This is a new expectation in seminary formation throughout the world. It's a year of a preparation for studying philosophy. And that will be held at the St. Mark's Convent, and the house that they're staying in, where this would be held in, would be the same place that the propedeutic program is run out of. And so that's a one-day discernment day. It's starts about 8:30 in the morning and ends about 7 in the evening, with a whole lot of good information and helpful suggestions on discerning your vocation.
Yeah, that's very good. And in fact, we had Father Floater on just recently here on the program telling us all about the propedeutic year, and it was a fascinating interview. So if any of our listeners want to check out that interview, just go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for Practicing Catholic Show, and look for Father Floater in the propedeutic year. Well, let me ask about both of these, Archbishop's Retreat, which sounds pretty amazing, as well as the Discernment Day with Bishop Williams. Why is it so important for these days to be led by our bishops, Father?
You know, in our archdiocese, we're really blessed that our bishops have a very strong interest in promoting vocations. They invest as they're able to do so, and I think it really speaks to the importance of promoting vocations. They're setting a strong example for all of us to do what we can to promote vocations. And so I think that's probably the key thing about having our bishops involved. I think it's very important. They set a great example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always a special thing, you know. As you may know, I used to work at the cathedral there, and so we'd rub shoulders with the bishops, perhaps a little bit more than your average archdiocesan parish might, but they always seem to have a special relationship, these bishops, with their seminarians and with the priests of the archdiocese, and I love it that it starts this early with the Archbishop's Retreat and with the Discernment Day with Bishop Williams. It's really a great thing.
It is, and I think it's really important. It's important because ultimately the archbishop has to make a decision whether this man should be ordained, you know,
right.
And he takes a lot of really good input from different sources. But for our bishops to know our seminarians is really helpful. Mm-hmm. We actually, through the Office of Vocations, we do what's called the expedition. And so in August, we have all of our seminarians and our bishop, our archbishop, and our auxiliary bishop, myself, and we go away for a weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the goals of the weekend is for the bishops to get to know their men and for the men to get to know the archbishop and their auxiliary bishop. So that's really key. I think it's very, very important that we do those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Father David Bloom, Director of the Office of Vocations for the Archdiocese, on the upcoming Archbishop's Retreat, as well as the Discernment Day with Bishop Williams, and both sound very, very good. But I also have noticed, too, Father, that, and some of our listeners may also have seen, that Cor Jesu is floating around on social media. So why don't you talk about that? What is it, and when is the next one?
Sure. Yeah, Cor Jesu is a beautiful devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's typically on the first Friday of the month. It depends a little bit on the college schedule, what's happening. But it is for college-aged young adults. And it is a time of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. There's beautiful music. There's priests available for confessions. The next Cor Jesu is this Friday at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary at 8 o'clock. It starts at 8 p.m. And it's been very popular. It's been very well received. Mm. The November Cor Jesu, and this is a little change up, actually a significant change up. The November Cor Jesu would be at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Oh, nice.
That'll be open to everybody. The Archbishop will preside, It'd be similar to the Cor Jesu we have here at the seminary, but it's an opportunity also to venerate first-class relics of the patrons of the National Eucharistic Revival. And that'll be held November 4th at 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. And we hope that it's very well attended.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds great. And that Friday, November 4th. So for Cor Jesu there with the Archbishop at the Cathedral, it's an excellent opportunity. And I'm glad you shared. Yeah. Well, as we're talking about all these things, it just sounds like there's so many things going on with the Office of Vocations, Father, and we're grateful for all that you do there. Any other things that we should be keeping an eye out for from the Office of Vocations?
There is an event that we get involved in, but we don't drive the bus. This is organized by St. John Vianney College Seminary. It's called the Vianney Visit. And so we help promote it, but it's for high school juniors and seniors this fall. It's for juniors and seniors. Next spring, they'll have the same event, and it'll be for sophomores, juniors, and seniors. But they invite them to come, they invite these young men to come to the seminary and to stay Thursday through Saturday morning. And so Thursday evening through Saturday morning, so they get up for 6:30 a.m. holy hour. They go to class with the seminarians. They have lunch with them. They visit. And one of the biggest takeaways is that the men at the seminary, they realize, are just regular guys. Yeah. They don't float around on a cloud. So they take away that impression that, you know, these guys are just like me. Maybe I could be a seminarian. And so I think it's this really a significant event. And in fact, I'd say most of our men who enter the seminary have been on a Vianney visit. And so it's very helpful to have that inside perspective.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, go ahead.
There's also a hidden part of our work, and that is working with men who are discerning their vocation. And so over the summer, we had a good number of inquiries, and I'm continuing to do follow-up with them, setting appointments to visit and help guys discern. So that's kind of the hidden part of the work, and it takes an incredible amount of time and energy and a lot of prayer as well. Mm-hmm. And then I might just put in a plug for our website. It's 10,000vocations.org. 10,000vocations.org. That's a little takeoff on Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes.
Okay.
So that's where it came from.
I never got that. I mean, 10,000 vocations, I'm like, wow, these guys are shooting high. I like it, you know? So I was inspired by that, but I see 10,000 vocations, 10,000 lakes. Yeah, okay.
If the Lord can give us 10,000 lakes, surely he could give us 10,000 vocations.
Yeah, and from what I understand, Father, there's actually more than 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. Oh. So let's pray for even more vocations, right? Always a good thing to be praying for. Certainly. Well, Father Bloom, we are grateful for everything that you do, as I said before, for the Office of Vocations. And, you know, God showers down his blessings in these young men's lives as they're discerning the priesthood, and we pray that he would continue to reveal his will to each and every one of them, and that we might continue to be blessed. But one way of continuing that blessing, we just got a blessing from Father O'Neill in the previous segment, but you know what? I'm not beyond asking for your blessing as well. Would you be willing to give us your blessing before we let you go?
Certainly. And I just encourage our listeners to pray for that young man who's sitting on the fence, not making a vocational decision. He's trying to keep all his options open. It's such a common thing. Yeah. And so we need the Holy Spirit to give them a nudge in one direction or the other. Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit upon those who are discerning, those who are begging of you for wisdom on their vocation. Lead them and guide them and help them, Lord, to know your will. And to all listeners, I bless you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Bloom, we are grateful, as always, for you joining us here on the program. God bless you, and thanks for your work.
Thank you so much.
Once again, to find out more about these opportunities and to learn more about what's involved in discerning a call to the priesthood or to the religious life, visit 10,000vocations, that's the number 10,000vocations.org. Well, stick around. Paul, Cammie, and I have the scoop on special masses, well-read moms, and more coming up right after this.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Well, my friends, it must be fall with the way that our archsbm.org/events calendar is overflowing with things. Parishes have got all sorts of things going on, and that's pretty exciting. But, of course, check out practicingcatholicshow.com for all those times that you can't be at one of our exciting events. Exciting events like the annual White and Red Masses are coming up. October 15th is the annual White Mass for healthcare workers. Healthcare workers, along with their families and spouses, are invited to honor patron St. Luke, again on October 15th. October 19th is the annual Red Mass for lawyers, judges, and other administrators of justice. Archbishop Hebda will be celebrating that one. Receptions will follow both of those Masses afterwards, and again, they're open to family and friends.
And how about all those moms out there?
Yeah.
We have the upcoming Well-Read Mom National Conference happening October 14th through 15th at Trinity School in Eagan. So all women are invited to join in on this weekend of nurturing of the heart and an exploration of how literature plays an integral role in the development of culture. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. It gives you the chance as well to meet other well-read moms from across the country. And you know what? We've actually featured one of those speakers, Marcy Stockman. She's the founder of Well-Read Moms on the show. So
yeah.
If you'd like to listen to her interview, you can check it out at practicingcatholicshow.com.
Well, we heard from Father Bloom just a minute ago, and want to remind you of a couple of events coming up from the Office of Vocations. First, the Archbishop's Discernment Retreat. This is for men without a college degree. It's coming up October 28th through 30th at Christ the King Retreat Center. And then there's Bishop Williams Discernment Day. That is for men with a college degree, October 29th at the St. Paul Seminary, Propaedeutic House. I've never heard that word before last week.
It's kind of a fun word, huh?
It is. It takes a little getting used to, I found, but it'll be household before you know it.
Okay, if you say so. Kind of like cornucopia. Anyway, you can investigate the call to priesthood with other like-minded men and our bishops. To find out more, go to 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000. That's 1 with 4 0s, vocations.org.
Yeah,
to learn more.
Very good. I didn't know that about the 10,000 lakes.
Nope.
That was the.
I'm
that was
sorry,
the
that always slipped by me, too.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Well, now we know.
Yep, now we know. Hey, of course, there's always a list of other things that you can be involved with, including, for instance, the Minnesota Prison Ministry Conference is coming up. Father Tony O'Neill and Dr. Kennedy talked about the speaker series at St. John Newman. Koryesu, as we just heard from Father Bloom, all of the information on that and so much more is over at archsbm.org/events. And another brilliant show coming up. This was a brilliant show today. We got another brilliant show coming
They're
up next time.
They're all brilliant.
They are. We're back in class, Mass class. Father Tom Margavichus from the Office of Worship. He's back to answer questions about the Mass. Deacon Mickey Friesen is also going to be with us to share about the upcoming World Mission Sunday. And lastly, if prison ministry is something you're interested in, Faye Connors of Twin Cities Prison Ministry is chatting about their upcoming fall conference. So don't miss any of that. Thank you for tuning in this time. Remember, practicingcatholicshow.com is where you want to go for all of our archived interviews. And in the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.